Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How about for a word of encouragement? Anybody need encouragement this morning? Okay, I'll talk to you three later on. I said, does anybody need encouragement this morning? Amen. You see, we're getting ready to cross into a new year. Amen. We've been through quite the year this past year. I know that all of us have gone through different kinds of experiences. Some of us have suffered losses. Some of us have enjoyed great winnings. Some of them have enjoyed great health, and some of us have fallen ill. We've gone through the peaks of life, and we've gone through some valleys this past year. But thank God that it's now, in the next couple of days, should Jesus tarry, we will go in through the threshold of a new year. 2025, wow. I remember in my day, we'd hear from people in the church or even in our home that the 80s were coming and Jesus was surely to come, because everything was so distorted at that time. And that same message continues to ring out. I'm the one that's saying it now, not only my parents, but I'm the one that's saying Jesus is coming. And I know that some of us may say, well, he has not come yet. It's been quite a while. I may not know when Jesus is coming, but I do know this. After today, it'll be one day less before he comes. I said, Jesus is coming. So we've been through a lot. As we're standing at a threshold of just, we may not know what this coming year holds, but we know who holds this coming year. And that is the Lord. I want to be an encouragement to you. And the gist of this whole conversation and this devotional this morning, my conversation with you, is to encourage you and tell you that it's never a good time to quit. It's never a good time to quit in the Lord. If you're sitting there, well, I'm going to wait and maybe next month, or when would it be a good time for me to stop praying? Never. When will it be a good time for me to stop going to church? Never. When will it be a good time for me to stop singing worship unto the Lord? Never. It's never a good time to give up anything on God. Never. You'll never find a good time for the doing of something like this. Now, this coming year, we also come to a time, and many of us, I don't know, maybe some of you have been so discouraged, but I'm going to try to encourage you to redo these things again. Well, we stand at a crossroads right now where we look at old resolutions. Last year, at the beginning, during this time, last year, 23, some of us have a custom to take a piece of paper, sit with our wives or our children or even ourselves at our desk, and we write these things. We become plan goalers. We start making plans and goals for ourselves. What am I going to do this year? Well, some of us have given up on doing something like that because we look at the coming year and we see that the list we're trying to write is the same one we wrote last year, and nothing's happened. The fact of the matter is that many times we fail to fulfill last year's resolution. And many of the people that have done that have given up. It's discouraging, ladies and gentlemen. Failure is something that people don't receive too well. We don't go through failure. When you look at something that discourages, when you look at something and it's discouraging because you said you were going to do it and yet you've had 12 months to do it and you're still fat. Did you notice I said, you're still fat? It's discouraging because you look at the resolution and you say, well, I was going to do this, but it's still the same. I said I was going to start saving money and I'm still not saving anything. I said I was going to start walking in the evenings. I'm not taking a single walk. I said I would start going to church more and I've missed every service that I possibly could, even like the year before. And you fail. So it's discouraging. I am discouraged sometimes from things that I plan out to do, but I don't have a chance, or I make all kinds of excuses as why I don't get those things done. So it can be discouraging. For those of you that don't like to write resolutions down, I get it. I understand. I sympathize with you because it feels pretty bad when you really don't have to write anything new down. You just might as well open the list again because it's all there. But I want to encourage you this morning and tell you that writing down resolutions is really not a bad thing. It really isn't. Writing down a resolution or setting a goal for yourself. Remember, the Bible does say that where there is no prophecy, the people lose restraint. That is, when you have nothing to look forward to, you end up going nowhere. You talk to a young person who doesn't know what they're going to do with their life. You'll find someone who basically spends their life watching television and doing nothing. But God didn't call us to simply be couch potatoes, per se, in that sense of doing nothing in life. But he has given us a road to travel. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Amen? That means that God has designed a way and a place for you. Was it not Jeremiah said, I know the plans I have for you? That means that God has preordained certain things in your life that he's expecting you to execute and to live through, walk through, if you will. And so when you come to a resolution and you come to the failing of a resolution, you say, I'm not going to try it anymore. When I'm here to tell you this morning, it's a great thing to try again, because resolutions really aren't a bad thing. Let me tell you the benefits really quick before I speak to you on what I'm going to speak to you this morning. Let me give you just three quick reasons why resolutions are a good thing. Number one, it keeps us conscious of our need for change. Listen carefully. Writing down a goal for your life reminds you that there are changes in your life that need to happen. It reminds you, just like the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 and 12, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. It reminds you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's always room for improvement. When you write down a goal, you're writing it down because you know you haven't gotten there yet. It's when you give up. I said this once and I'll say it again, that failure is not someone, when people experience failure, is not someone that tries and fails. That's not failure. A failure is someone who tries and fails and refuses to try again. Then you have failed. And so here the apostle in Philippians chapter 3 says, I haven't obtained all of this. I'm not perfect yet. Therefore, he says, I press on. I challenge myself. The simple word press is the indication to tell us that there are things that are going to try to hold you back from pressing forward and prospering in your way. And so a resolution is not a bad thing, because it keeps us conscious, ladies and gentlemen, that there's always room for betterment in our lives. How many need to be bettered here in our lives? Amen? Especially in our walk with God. There's always things you can do better for God that you wanted to do last year, but you didn't. I'm here to tell you and to challenge you. Try it again. Amen? Try it again. Well, Pastor, try it again. Look what Paul says in that very same passage. He said, but I press on to take a hold for what Christ Jesus took me a hold of. He goes on to speak to say, to see if I keep trying, I'll see if this time I can reach that goal. You never know that God will strengthen you through this plan of yours that you've set before you, and he will give you the strength to accomplish it. So it's a benefit to write a resolution. The second thing I would say that a resolution is good for us, because it keeps us practicing for better performance. It keeps us practicing for better performance. Think about that. I want to see every hand of those who are serving the Lord this morning. If you don't raise your hand, I know I'm going to call you for salvation this morning, because you need Jesus in your life. Keep it up. How many know now you could do better? Come on. There's just some people to be with. There's always room for improvement. You can put your hand down. Thank you. A resolution, a challenge before you tells you, listen, I know I served the Lord this past year. I've been pastor of this church for 30 years, and I know I did a good job last year, but I know, if I'm honest with myself, I could have done better to serve him. There's some of us here today who are serving in ministry, or several of you are hidden heroes in this ministry that make this ministry shine. You've been working, but even to you, I say, there are things you can do better. And certainly those who are not serving in church, who are here, are members of our church, and we love you and everything else, but there are things that you can be doing to better serve God. Better serving the Lord is very important. God considers it important. You see, God is a God of purpose. There is not one from the youngest to the oldest where God does not have a plan. See, life is not a shot in the dark. It's a walk in the light. There's a plan for you. The question of the hour is, are you paying attention to fulfilling that better service unto God? This year, I pray that you would not surrender to not writing a goal, but that you would write that goal down and say, I know I can serve God better this year. Last year, I said I was going to be a part of this, or I was going to serve him this way, I was going to reach out this way, or I was going to participate this way, but I didn't. But this year, I know there's room for improvement. I'm going to take that resolution and challenge myself to better serve him this year. So it'll teach you that. It'll keep you reminded of that responsibility to better serve him. And finally, it'll challenge us always to keep going forward, to never become stagnant. I think it was Charles Spurgeon who said, tomorrow, my friend, if you find yourself in the same place as you were yesterday, you've backslidden. If you find yourself today in the same place you were yesterday, you've backslidden. Because the walk and the steps of a righteous man are always from glory to glory. You're supposed to be advancing always in the kingdom, always. It's not a stagnant placement. It's not pitching a tent somewhere and just staying there. It's a moving forward. We need to challenge ourselves this year. Every single one of us, not only as individual families and brothers in Christ, but also corporately as a ministry, we need to press forward to accomplish greater service unto God and continue allowing this ministry to do its work in service and to move forward. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So resolutions are a good thing. And I'm going to give you a couple this morning that I'd like to challenge Rock of Ages to embrace this year, if you will. Tell your neighbor, your solution? You didn't tell your neighbor. I said, tell your neighbor, your solution might be a resolution. That's it. You want to get out of the pit that you're in, what you need to do is to rewrite this plan and goal again. To try again. I said I was here to encourage you this morning. I don't want anybody walking out of here in this sanctuary thing, well, I guess we're just supposed to sit back and cruise through. No, no, no. I'm calling you into action. It's time to live a better life for Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. The first thing I want to challenge you to embrace this year, to write it down somewhere, is to refocus your motivations. Refocus your motivations. Refocus what your passions are in life. This past year, you looked at certain things that manipulated you and drove you. It coerced you. It probed you to follow those things that you were focused on. That's the natural response and classical thing in life. Whatever the Bible says, that wherever your treasure is, so is your heart. Amen? So whatever inflames you, whatever impassions you, you're going to chase that with everything you are. As soon as you focus on something, your body will respond accordingly in a little bit of time. If you are out for fortune and fame, that's all you'll look for, fortune and fame. If you're out for money, every morning you'll get up trying to find the money. If you want power, you'll wake up in the morning and all you'll be looking for is somewhere to empower yourself. And I believe that the Lord would speak to the church today about refocusing our motivations. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 reads as follows. If ye then being risen with Christ seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, he said, set your affection, set your passion, set what drives you, what makes you click, what motivates you on things above and not things on the earth. To refocus, to understand, to take time to refocus what you're doing in your life. The Bible says that though many things, all things may be permissible, but not all things are beneficial. There's a lot of things you can chase after in your life and pursue them with everything that you are, and that's okay. But will they benefit you? Will they benefit the kingdom? Will they benefit your walk in God? There's a lot of things. And they're not a heaven and hell issue. There's nothing that's going to cause you to stumble and fail God. But it's just things that won't allow you to live the fullness of Christ in your life. It won't allow you to step into the realm of where God wants you and God can use you fully in trust. He'll always look at what your eyes are looking for. Remember, the scripture says that the eyes are sick. The eyes are ill, so the body becomes ill. How we're focused and what we're focused on, what will drive you. You have to look at these things. And the Lord, I believe, is expecting his church in these last days. How many know we're living in the last days? Amen. He's expecting us to align our vision. We are so misaligned sometimes. You know, it's very customary, very classical for the church to start looking at other things where all things are well. You'll agree with me that most of the things we chase for and chase after in life, if you really compare them to the things that God wants you to do, they never really line up with what God wants for you. If we're honest, we'll find that truth a lot. What are you looking at when I'm looking at this? Is this what God wants for you? I don't know. And you really don't care because this is what you want. But if you ask the Lord, it really doesn't align with where God is leading you in life. And therefore, we're afraid to ask. We're afraid to really take that challenge because we know that something stronger than the will of God in our lives is driving us. Write it down somewhere. I need to renew my focus. I need to realign my focus. I need to see what I'm looking at with my life. I need to see what's driving me on a daily basis. It's easy to see when someone loses their focus, they'll drift off in another direction. How many people have we met even in church who say, hey man, I saw you for 6-7 months in church solidly. What happened? Well, you know, I started. The focus changes and all of a sudden from going this way, the tug pulls you away. And it will disenfranchise you. It'll separate you from what God's wanting for your life. Secondly, write this down. Let's make this a plan for all of us. A new surrender to the will of God in your life. I know it sounds trivial. It doesn't sound very theological, in-depth. But I promise you that a lot of people are failing in walking in the will of God because they refuse to really surrender to the will of God. You know that one of the greatest and most asked questions or complaints, I don't know what the word I want to use to express this to you, but in my office, I meet with people, obviously here in the church, and people that come from out of the church for counseling and to talk to me about certain things. But one of the most common things that I hear people tell me is, Pastor, I just don't know what the will of God is. I want to know what the will of God is. I feel lost. I want, and it's an earnest cry. I'm not belittling this thing. I'm not making it trivial. It's an earnest cry. I want to know what God wants for me. I want to find my place in the kingdom. I want to find my place in the body. What am I supposed to be doing in life? And it can be frustrating so much that people who do not know what God wants them to do, as I said, where there is no prophecy, there is no clear forward understanding, people lose restraint. They start roaming around, and ultimately you'll find you'll end up in a dead-end place where you end up doing nothing for Christ at all. What is God's will for my life? You know, it's important to God that you know His will. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, just as each one of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Ephesians 5 and 15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. What the Lord's will is for us. God is expecting us to know what He wants us to do. But I want you to know something, that and obviously the answer or the solution to this becomes simple. You'll never know unless you ask. That involves prayer, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But learning the will of God, let me just tell you, and I could use my own life as an example, because in my wildest dreams, I never thought that after close to 40 years, I'd be standing in front of a congregation such as you, speaking to you of the Word of God. I never thought that. I thought I was going to be a musician all my life. That's what I really wanted to do, amongst other things. But learning the will of God involves a sifting, as I mentioned, of your focuses in life and your purposes in life. It involves using all the data and information that you've raised, that you've gained as you're growing up, and see the things that God has done with you in your life. I want you to know something, that your gifting is not as hidden as you think it is. As I said to you, in my wildest dreams, I never thought I'd be standing behind a pulpit speaking to a congregation. But you know, I've been speaking to congregations for 50 years as a musician. Hundreds of people, I've stood in front of hundreds of people. I've made them dance and shout and do things that the Lord would not be pleased with. And I never knew that all of that God would transform and have tailored me during those years of my life, when I was, per se, in my mind, out of the will of God, to train me to stand here and to speak to you. Yeah. It's true. So, quite frankly, and this is not arrogant speaking, but true humility, I was more prepared for this than I actually knew. Because God has been training me all my life. And I dare say to you today, I place this challenge, that there are things in your life, many of you, that things that flow from you already, that's a natural for you. That God has already been training you through the influence of life where you're at. That once you take that and surrender it to the will of God, God will use that gifting that you have and use it for the kingdom. You know, everybody wants to be the lead guitar player in a band. Everybody wants to be the lead vocalist in the band. Everybody wants to be the pastor. Everybody wants to be the head teacher. Everybody wants to be the one that shines. Everybody wants their name on the big screen. But when it comes to the will of God, it has nothing to do with glimmer and shine. I want you to know that here at Rock of Ages, we have a lot of teachers and people that work, that serve you in this ministry. People that you don't even know their names. People whose name you've never seen on the big screen, but yet they are the heroes of this ministry. There are people who do things for you and do things for this ministry, who have found their place in the kingdom to do things and never expect a single card or a pat in the back, but they're always diligently doing their work. That because of what they do, they found the will of God. God had trained them for that hospitality. God had trained them for that type of service all their lives. This is what natural. They said, this is what I do, Pastor. And I'm going, like, really? They mean you don't want to be the one who gets all the glory? No, man. This is what I do. And these are the heroes that we have at Rock of Ages, doing things that I have not even done. They make me look good. and we're thankful for them. Could you give the Lord a praise for them? A lot of teachers. We have Sunday school teachers who are very capable of teaching. They understand curriculum, but all their lives they've been teachers. Maybe they weren't saved all their lives, but God has trained them during that time, thinking that all they were was going to be a secular teacher all their life, but then they got saved, and God used that teaching ability to teach our Sunday school, to teach the children, to teach the young people. And there are giftings in your life, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what could I do there? What do you do? Well, this is what really flows from me. Well, that's what we need. The scripture says that the body is composed of many members. Not all of them have the same function. But the beauty of that makes the body so perfect is when all the functioning parts of that body work well, it makes you fluid. It makes you move forward. And so we need to learn how to surrender to the will of God. To say, Lord, can you use what you've trained me to do? We've got wonderful greeters here. And if you had known them a little bit before, they're just nice people to start off with. They're the ones with the smile going, hey, man, I'm glad you're here. Now they're saved, though. They're using that for the kingdom. As I said, we have teachers. We have musicians here who are secular musicians in the past. They never knew. I never knew that as a guitar player, while I was influencing people to do other things, I did not know that one day I would play the guitar, and because of what we projected in the spirit would change the hearts of men. Are you following me this morning? It's learning the will of God, but it's going to take you sifting, getting involved. You will never learn the will of God until you get involved in the body. There's so much to do. Jesus said, the work is much, but the laborers are few. God is waiting for you to fulfill that particular call in your life in the kingdom. Next, this year I want you to write it down. Let's renew our interest in the purpose of Christ. Let's renew our interest in the purpose of Christ. Does anybody know the purpose of Christ? If you ask someone, what is the purpose of Christ? Well, I'm sure there are many answers. Some would say, well, he came to show us love. Absolutely true. Well, what is the purpose of Christ? Well, you know, he came to show us that there is power in healing and he could heal. True. What is the purpose of Christ? Well, he came to speak about God and his kingdom and to lead us to understanding and having a relationship with God. True, true. All of that's true. But what is the purpose? What was the influence of Christ? What was the purpose of God? Why did he come in the first place? And the answer to that is to save that which was lost. Luke 9 and 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That is the purpose of Christ. That is the sole purpose of the Lord. Before we have a good worship team, before we have great lights and a big screen and a big church and all these wonderful things, all these aesthetics that we have in this venue, before we have great programs and good organizational skills and all these things, there is something that the church must never lose, and that is the purpose of Christ. And that is the zeal and the heart for the souls of men. There's something that is supposed to drive the church today. There is a reason why the church is driven to come to the house of prayer and the house of bread. And that is to be equipped to fulfill the purpose of Christ. And that is to reach the lost. You see, God isn't hungry for another worship song. God isn't hungry for another good program for children. God isn't hungry for a bigger venue or more churches or have satellites and all this other stuff. It's all good. It's all good. I'm not knocking it. But God is hungry for souls. The souls of men. The souls of us. What drove Jesus, what motivated Christ to come, why the Lord, his Father, would send him to come to mingle with us, but because his purpose was to come and find me. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that today, in these last days, the church should refocus and renew a desire to fulfill the purpose of Christ. We have the Great Commission that we sometimes forget in Matthew 28 and 18. Therefore, go. So many times he spoke of the lost. So many times he proved and he gave them an illustrative sermon on how to save the lost, every one of them who followed him. Only to conclude and to finish his last statements by saying, therefore, go. But it's easy not to go, ladies and gentlemen, for us as a church. Again, I say to you that when we become comfortable and the church is going good, we're financially stout, all the worship team is working well, people are coming to church, we're getting new families, all these things are working good, everything is kosher, everything is nice. It's easy to forget about the outside world. In other words, it's easy to forget about the purpose of Christ. This year, we need to make sure as a body that we start reigniting the purpose of Christ in our hearts. It's not because you want a full church of people and members and more finances and all these things. It's because you know that that's what God desires. He desires. This is why he said, it has pleased my Father, Jesus said, to give you the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. It is the desire of the Father, Jesus said, that none be lost. We need to refocus. Amen? I won't spend time on the next couple of principles because we've spoken about them already, but we need to reignite a passion for the Word of God. I think I would pose this question to you this morning. When was the last time you really opened your Bible? Maybe it's right under the short leg of an end table you have at home, or maybe it's all dusty amongst all the books you collect. But when was the last time you opened the Word of God for the feeding and the nurturing of your soul? Do you remember the last time you really yearned to hear from God through His Word? I told the church this morning, our Spanish service, I told the church, I said, you know, one of the biggest mistakes, and I've said this before, it's almost monotonous, I know. I'm going to tell you again, though. One of the biggest mistakes the church ever made was to provide these for you. The biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes the church has ever made. Is by providing Megatron screens for you, for me. Back in the day, our mom would take us to church, and whether we were sitting out in the back, there was something very noticeable. When the pastor was preaching, if he would say to the church, Hermanos, todos levanten su Biblia. Brothers and sisters, please raise your Bibles, and you'd see a cloud of Bibles in the church. The pastor would say, let's turn to Philippians 4 and 13, and you'd hear.
¿Es en el Nuevo Testamento o el Viejo Testamento?
Old Testament, New Testament. I remember a few years ago, we still were in the gymnasium sanctuary, and I told the church, I'm going to give anybody $100 open to the book of Gideon. And I sat there for about 10 minutes. That's how much people know their Bibles. Open to the book of Samson. Because
Because we have no practice with the Word of God anymore. Now, if I ask you to raise your Bible, I dare say we probably have 3, 4, 5 people who will raise their Bibles. Some of us don't even know where our Bibles are. We need to rekindle that fire. To love the Word of God enough to own it and to hold it. We need to start coming to Sunday school. We need to start learning the Word of God. I don't know if you've forgotten this, but I need to tell you that in the Word of God, you still find peace and comfort. I don't know if some of you may have forgotten that in the Bible, you will find wisdom to direct your path. Maybe you've forgotten that when you used to read the Bible, you always found comfort for your heart. You felt safe. There was power in that word. I don't know if some of us have really ignored or forgotten that if you read the Bible, you'll find your way to heaven. But where is your Bible? Let's rekindle that fire. Amen. I won't say much about prayer. We need to rekindle a new hunger for prayer. We've said this before from this pulpit. A Christian that prays is a Christian that will stay. If you go to a church and there is no power for healing, no power for deliverance, as we saw just a couple of weeks ago, you will find a church that has forgotten the power of God's word. When you hear a testimony of someone saying, well, I know that somewhere the Bible says, or I heard someone say, yet you cannot say, I know that I read in the Bible says this. It's a totally different area of faith. Prayer. You know, prayer is probably the most preached about subject from a pulpit. I don't know how many sermons on prayer in the past 30 years I've preached. Prayer, prayer, prayer. I've preached prayer. And almost every radio station, books, literature, and bookstores, everywhere you'll find prayer, 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 everywhere. But yet it being the most spoken about theme and subject, it is the least practiced in the house of God. Some of us barely know the prayer of, Lord, bless this meal. And if we cannot pray for ourselves, how can we teach our children to pray? When you spend your time trying to find someone to pray with you, not that that's a bad thing, it's a good thing to pray for each other. But when you find yourself in the middle of the night and someone is sick in your house and you need to wake up somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning so they can pray for someone, my friend, you are in trouble. You need to rekindle the flame of prayer again. Some of us want to know God. I want you to know you'll never know Him unless you talk to Him. Some of us, as we spoke about the direction and the will of God, you'll never know the will of God until you talk to Him. Some of us need to make serious decisions about certain things. I don't care if it's purchasing a house or whatever you're in search of, I mean, you're making a serious decision for your life. You've yet not prayed for it. And you think you're doing the right thing simply because it appeals to you. My friend, you're in trouble. Prayer has been lost in the house of God. God has called and given us the vehicle of prayer because He wants us to spend intimate time with Him. The Bible tells us over and over, as it does in Romans 12 and 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful. Everybody say faithful. Say it like you mean it, faithful. Faithful in prayer. The Bible says that Jesus taught His men to always pray without ceasing. So I ask you this morning, when the last time you talked to Him? Let's commit this year to do it again. Yes? You'll see things change in your life. And finally this morning,
Let's renew our hope for heaven. Now I know that doesn't sound very theological or so divine, but I want you to know that a lot of people forget about heaven. Some of us are so busy building up our castles and our mansions here on this land, you forget that there's another place that really God perfected for you, but you have forgotten about. We're so busy trying to hold on to this world when God says you're a pilgrim, you're just passing by. Hold tightly to nothing in this world. Some of us have forgotten the last words of Christ in the Gospel of John chapter 14 verse 1 and on when he said, let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Trust in God and trust also in me. He said, in my Father's house there are many mansions or many rooms. I'm going to, if it were not so, I would have told you so, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will return so that where I am, you will be also. That means that God has prepared a place for us. Ladies and gentlemen, as you see chaos unfolding here, in this world that we live in, if there's anything that should bring you joy, is to know that this is not our home. We're merely passing through. Oh, some of us have been waiting for a savior for this 25 new presidential race. He's not the savior. Salvation doesn't come. The Bible says that some trust in horsemen and some trust in chariots. But victory belongs into the hands of the Lord. Amen. And I'm not speaking politics either. But I am telling you, you need to focus where deliverance comes from. And deliverance doesn't come from any man or group or political party. It comes from the hand of God. He's the one with the promises. He's the one that said, I will come for you and I will rescue you from all this junk that you've created. I'm going to come and pull you out of your own mess. This is why I love God so much, because he knows that we've made a mess. But he loves us enough to come pull us out if we'll just call on him. What am I saying this morning? And I finished. It's never a good time to quit, ladies and gentlemen. Never a good time to turn back. Maybe you've tried resolutions before and you're looking at the same old list as you did last year. Well, thank God you don't have to rewrite it, but restart it. Go back to school. Get your degree. Stop eating so much. Start waking up early and start praying. Commit yourself to come to church more. Be faithful unto the Lord in your stewardship. Commit yourself to take time and reserve some time to serve the Lord in the kingdom, in the house. Come and volunteer and say, I need to work. I need to get busy in the kingdom. I need to find my place in the kingdom of God. I need to work. Change it. Refocus your focus. If Jesus tarries and we talk again in another 12 months, you already know the sermon I'm going to preach to you, because I'm going to remind you again. Your solution could be a resolution.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.